Yeah, we're all on the same page here. Thank you so much, Margaret. That's wonderful. Yes, it is a new month. Month of May, new theme for the month. Spiritual laws in action. And today's talk is obeying the law. It's always great to get a new theme for the month. You know, there's just so much really good, juicy information to dive into when it's the first talk of the month. It's so exciting to do that. And you know, the best part of, I remembered what I forgot. The best part about starting a new month is that we're aligned with the Science of Mind magazine. And I'd be holding one up right now if I had remembered to bring it with me. So the Science of Mind magazine, our theme, the Science of Mind magazine theme, same theme. So if something intrigues you about these talks for this month, you grab the magazine and there's like lots and lots of articles about the same theme. So do that. That's why we do that. That's why we have those themes. So today we're discussing obeying the law. And so the first thing I want to talk about is the law. You know, when I was first introduced to this philosophy, it was years before I actually knew that there was an organization that actually taught this. I was given the textbook. Someone handed me the textbook and said, "Here, this sounds like you. Read it." So I read it, and it did sound like me. And one of the things that intrigued me was the law, Ernest Holmes' use of the law. And it took a while, you know, how it's a really big book. But it took a while for me to really get kind of what he was referring to about the law. It just took me a while to understand it. Has anybody else has that experience with Ernest Holmes, the law? Okay, so it's not just me. Okay, love and law and love, that's all he spoke about. So let's do a quick clearing about the law. You know, we understand that there are physical laws, right, in the physical world. And those physical laws in the natural world enable us to live and breathe and move around on Earth and to operate successfully. We have the principle of gravity, right? Gravity is it's a weak little law, but it does a great job, right? It keeps us and everything else from kind of floating away. So that's great. It is Newton's law of universal gravitation, and here's what it says. Particle attracts every other particle in the universe with a force which is directly proportional to the product of their masses and inversely proportional to the square of the distance between their centers. Now, we don't normally need to know that, but we need to know that it works, right? We don't need to know how it works. We need to know that it works. Just like the laws of thermodynamics. You're familiar with the first one already. The first law of thermodynamics, energy can neither be created nor destroyed, but it simply changes form. We say that about spirit, don't we? Same exact thing. Second law of thermodynamics, right? Acceleration of an object is dependent on two variables: the force acting on the object and the mass of the object itself. This is all high school physics, right? We remember this, don't we? Yes, we do. Come on, just say it. Yes, we do. Of course we do. And the third law is that nature, every action in nature has an equal and opposite reaction. All right, big old thermodynamics. We know all this stuff. We know it because it applies to nature. It applies to the natural laws. And even if we're not familiar with them as they are stated, we use them all the time. Really, we use them all the time without even thinking, you know? Then there are four fundamental forces, right? Gravitational force, like we talked about, weak nuclear force, electromagnetic force, and strong nuclear force. These are all physical laws in the universe that we align with. We didn't make them. They were here, you know? They're here in the manifest physical universe. All of these laws exist on this planet so we can stay on the planet, so that water takes the shape of its container, so that electricity flows from the switch to the bulb, right? So that that food grows from the ground up. All of these physical laws are in place so all of those things can happen so that we can live in the physical universe. So now let's talk about spiritual laws, because this is what Ernest Holmes was referring to. And spiritual laws are just like physical laws. They are no less real, present, everywhere, at our disposal to align with and to work for us by working through us. Same exact thing. Ernest Holmes speaks to universal divine mind as the thinker, the word, right? He has said that all along. This is the place from which everything flows. Think seed, soil, plant, right? Remember, come on, think way back to foundations class. Seed, soil, plant, right? Ernest Holmes said the thinker, the first cause is the seed. First, there is the word. Ernest Holmes said love is the great impulsion of the word. Oh, and that's a beautiful thought. So spirit loves the physical world into being. And we can understand that our word also must issue forth with love. Right? So when we plant our seeds, when we set our intentions, when we put our word forth into the law, it must be put forth in love. Ernest Holmes said, love points the way, law makes the way possible. So love speaks. That is the word. That is the seed. Love speaks. And law, without question, goes to work out picturing that word. Ernest Holmes said this in Love and Law. He said, as metaphysicians, that's all of us, as metaphysicians, we claim the word is the cause. The word is the cause of the law. The law is the cause of the thing. The thing is the effect of the law, and the law is the effect of the word. Got that? You see how that works? It's just amazing. It is brilliant. It was a brilliant synthesis of the thing itself and how it works. So, that is the law, and that is how it works. It is the servant of the word. The law is the servant of the word. Now, when you think about that, you have to think of that for a second. If the law is the servant of the word, that means the law is an effect in itself. It is not cause. Ernest Holmes said, law controls everything, but we are not apt to realize law itself is an effect. Did you ever stop to think that not only is the planet an effect, the planet did not make itself, it is an effect. When you do see that, you will see it is governed by a law and made by a law, but the law which governs this planet is also an effect. The law did not make itself. The law is not intelligence. It is the result of intelligence as causation. So when we're looking at that big, you know, the big, well, it's not up there. Doesn't matter. You know the big teaching symbol, right? With the three aspects, and you have the seed, soil, plant. And that middle part that we call the... Oh, thank you. There you go. That middle part that we call the law, that is the receptive part. It is not cause. It is an effect. Just like this is an effect. Just like those seats are an effect. Just like we're an effect. The law itself is an effect. It is an effect of the word. So law, just like everything else in the manifest universe, is effect of, it's an effect of universal divine mind in action. And as humans, we are the microcosm, right, of universal divine mind, which is the macrocosm. We are the ones made in the image and after the likeness of spirit, of first cause, being an indistinguishable part of the whole, but yet containing everything that spirit is. So when we speak our word, it is the same thing. We speak our word, law goes to work out picturing because it is an effect. It is a servant of the word, and we are speaking the word. We must remember, Ernest Holmes said this, law is not physical and material, it is mental and spiritual. Law is God's method of operation. That's it. Law is God's method of operation. Just like spirit thinks the entire universe into being and the Big Bang happened, and it continues to outpicture and create, spirit thinking animals and plants and humans and bugs and grass and trees thinks all of that into creation, and then evolution was the method of creation. It's just like that. Love speaks the word, and law goes to work. It is the method of operation. It is the method of creation. And Ernest Holmes, you know, he's so funny. Anyway, so we are here being that outpicturing of spirit, right? Being the microcosm of the macrocosm. So God speaks and the word is acted upon, you know, the law begins to go to work outpicturing. We do the same thing in our own lives. We speak our word. The law goes to work automatically, not unquestioning, has no thought of its own, has no volition of its own, because it is also in effect. And we speak our word into it, and it goes to effect, and it outpictures what we put into it so boldly. And so what happens when it doesn't work? What happens when we speak our word and nothing happens, right? I mean, you've had those experiences, yes? You know, you're praying this and I'm getting that. What the heck is going on? You know, apples and oranges moments. Did you ever have the apples and oranges moments? Ernest Holmes said this in Creative Mind. He said, it looks as though the average person were a pawn on the checkerboard of fate. It does at times look as though evil is equal to good. And no doubt too many people accept this position and resign themselves to the thought that there's nothing they can do about it. And if they lack confidence in themselves, there's really nothing they can do about it. Thank you, Ernest. But he goes on, there's good news. He goes on to say, but let such people catch a vision of the law of good and come to realize there really is a power greater than they are, which is both accessible and available, and learn how to use it, they will forget about their belief in their own inadequacies and begin to place reliance on this power greater than they are. And surely as they do this, they will be rewarded. Things will begin to happen to them that has not happened before. This is the whole change your thinking, change your life thing, right? So in this one quote, we have everything we need to know. We have all the instructions to align with this law and begin to outpicture a different manifestation than ever before. We can align with this power and presence, consciously using the law that has already always existed, and outpicture more of a life that we desire and less of a stuff happens kind of life that maybe we are used to. What is the first thing Ernest Holmes said? Let people catch a vision of the law of good. Catch a vision of this law of good, that this power and this presence is greater than we are. So the first thing we need to do is develop a vision. So do that, right? Do that. That's your first task. Develop that vision. Do a vision boarding. I love vision boarding. Do a visioning. Go to visioning. Have someone do visioning with you. Sit in a circle and do visioning. Do affirmations. Do affirmative prayer. Take classes like treatment and meditation or power of your word. That's amazing. Power of your word. Things where we develop this vision of what our lives can be. There is a vision in your mind. You know what you know about your life and what it can be. So it's about creating that vision, setting that powerful intention, however you do it, with whatever tools at your disposal, create a vision for your life. Athletes do it all the time, don't they? Athletes do it all the time. They do positive feedback, they have the little headphones on, they see themselves jumping the highest they've ever jumped before, or skiing downhill faster than anybody, or breaking records, or you know, winning the gold. Athletes rehearse it all the time. They rehearse the goal. And then what do? They take those little penguin steps, those little baby steps toward fulfilling that. They foot after foot, Ernest Holmes, treat and move your feet. You know, they do the move your feet thing. And they begin to achieve. Remember, a power greater than they are, a power that is both accessible and available, and learn how to use it. So what is learn how to use it, really? But to surrender. It is to surrender and align, because this is a power and presence that has always existed. We didn't make it. Ernest Holmes said, you know, we didn't make it, it's always been. All we can do is align with it and allow it to flow through us. That's all we can do. It's not me, but it's spirit that does the work, right? We surrender, which is not giving up, by the way. It's not flying the white flag, I mean, you know, and just like, I give, I can't do this anymore. Surrendering is about aligning with this power and presence. We align with a power in the universe that is greater than we are. We acknowledge that there is this power that is greater than we are, and we join with it. We unite with it. We align with it. We allow it. Oh, actually, like you were saying, we don't fret it, right? We let it. We align with this power and presence, and we allow it to flow into our lives, acknowledging we don't do it alone. This is not us. This is the power of spirit through us. You know, we align with it. We acknowledge it is greater than we are. We use it. What does Ernest Holmes always said? I don't make things happen. I make them welcome. I don't make things happen. I make them welcome. That's what we do. We align with this power that has existed for all eternity. We make it welcome. We invite it in to our lives to allow it to flow through us. We become those clear channels, those clear vessels through which this spiritual power can flow into our lives, changing conditions around us. And this is not in any sense appeasing an angry or a jealous God or a vengeful God or a God that needs to be knelt down to and you know, lit candles and face a particular way or any of that stuff. It is not about appeasing a God so it will work for us. It's about aligning with a power and a presence which has absolutely no agenda other than the ones that we are assigning it. So some of the ways we do that is through affirmations. We do it through affirmations. We keep rehearsing the truth, just like the athlete keeps rehearsing the end goal. We keep rehearsing the truth in our own lives. I know, I absolutely know that I am some undivided wholeness, you know, of the power and presence of the universe. That's the truth of us. I am heir to all the good in the universe. That is the truth of us. There is good all around, and I ought to have it. Emma Curtis Hopkins, borrowed a little bit, paraphrased, but you get the point, right? There is good in the universe and I ought to have it. These are all positive affirmations. Affirmative prayer, that's what we call it, affirmative prayer, right? It is standing in our good, claiming it, knowing it so, and accepting it, knowing that it's going to flow into our experience because nothing can stop it. Well, we call it affirmative prayer. Sometimes you've heard it called, you know, five steps of spiritual mind treatment. We call it spiritual mind treatment. Five steps to heaven that affirm our good, right? We recognize that there is this power and presence greater than we are. We unite with it. We know we are some undivided part of it. We claim our good, called realization or declaration or whatever you want to call the third step. It's okay. And then we give thanks and release. Right? That's it. Knowing our good. We have meditation, sitting in the quiet. Sitting in the quiet and listening for that still small voice. To just reveal whatever it is to reveal to us. You know, that's meditation. Sitting on a cushion, waiting for nothing to happen. Just going within and being quiet. Perfect, perfect time to hear the still small voice. Then there's vision boarding, doing that goal, right? Putting those pictures up, reminding ourselves on a daily basis that our good is already ours. And Ernest Holmes said what? As surely as we do this, we will be rewarded. As surely as we do this, we see life begins to change. Maybe little by little, maybe imperceptibly, but life begins to change. Those little unnoticeable things. But life changes by your affirmations. Life changes by your declarations of truth. Life changes because you accept the very best and you welcome it into your experience. Ernest Holmes, on this thing called Life, it was a Sunday morning radio program he had, he said this: you need not force or coerce, but you must obey the law. If you can see God in everything, then God will look back at you through everything. This is the law of give and take. When the time comes that nothing goes forth from you other than that which you would be glad to have return, then you will have reached your heaven. So there you go. That's your directive. Nothing goes forth from your mouth other than love, other than that which you would enjoy returning. Obey the law. Obey the law. Let nothing issue forth from us than that which we would desire to return to us. Let us speak only words of love. And so the law goes to work automatically, and the manifestation that flows back to us is love, is good and more good. Thank you.